But today, Dave Penny's with me from Invest Southwest in Taunton. He's an independent financial advisor, and he's answering your questions. Should we go to the lines?
Yes, let's do that.
Right, Tony's in Burnham. Hi, Tony.
Morning, Ben.
You're on with Dave. Fire away.
Thank you very much. Morning, Dave.
Morning, Tony.
Yeah, the one I want to ask, because it was a seminar in Taunton, funny enough. I was going to go, but I didn't go. Care fees. And it says in this leaflet I got here, at the seminar, we will show you how to legally protect your home and savings for your loved ones. Methods known by the wealthy for centuries. Is there such a method?
Arguably, yes, Tony, but you are flirting with the rules, and it's for this single reason is this. If you deliberately get rid of an asset to deprive yourself of that asset so it can't be touched by the local authority in case of care costs, if it's a deliberate move, then it fails. The local authority can come after you for that asset, wherever it is, given to somebody else or in trust. If they can be confident that it's been done for that reason, then it will fail. So you have to do it for another reason. And there could arguably be other reasons. You want to help your children to buy a house or something like that. Then it works. But of course, if the reason for the seminar was to avoid care costs, then by definition, it's doing what the local authority won't allow.
So there's not really a way to protect in the... my bungalow, really. I mean, I know what you're saying with cash. Give cash, but I can't protect the actual building itself because that would look like I was doing it deliberately, sort of thing.
You're flirting with the rules. There is something called an asset protection trust. You put your bungalow into a trust for the benefit of your children, let's say, after you've died, to give them more control. There are sort of reasons that would make that trust a good idea, aside from care costs. But, you know, if you're really doing it for that, and it's come from a seminar for that, you're sailing very close to the wind.
Yeah, so it's not possible. Because several governments have talked about it. I mean, it was in the Tory manifesto this time, but us pensioners, we're getting really fed up. Nobody actually doing anything or trying to give us any more alternatives. They keep saying they're going to do it, but they all keep getting frightened a bit, I think.
Well, I can tell you there are plenty of folks that do exactly what you're describing, but if it goes wrong, then you've got lots of after you've died, lots of legal fees and problems and for your beneficiaries. So, you know, be careful.
Tony, thank you so much for your question. But money, you know, is, you know, flirting with the rules you use there, but you've got to play the system in a way, in some ways, haven't you, as long as it's within the law.
Exactly. I mean, they talk about tax avoidance being a bad, you know, being almost borderline illegal. Well, listen, you put money into an ISA, you are doing that to avoid tax.
Yeah.
You put money into a pension, the same thing. So legal tax avoidance, of course, you should try and do that as much as you can.
Antoinette in Bleeden says, Dave, my husband died 7 years ago and had about 3,000 shares in BAE. I wanted to sell them, but first they had to be transferred into my name. Unfortunately, I can't find 50 of the share certificates, so I had to put them into my name as the executor of the will. I inquired as to the cost of the replacement certificates and was told I believe the cost would be £15 each. At present, all dividends go back into purchasing new shares. Is this still the case? And if so, is there any way around this apart from just selling those that I have certificates for?
Yes. Good morning, Antoinette. You are one of so many people that have difficulties when somebody has died and you're involved in trying to unpick the estate and the investments and you're an executor. One thing I can say, I think if there are 50 shares without a certificate, you should only need one certificate which names those 50 shares on it. It should not be 50 individual certificates.
Right.
So I think it's £15 times one, not times 50. Secondly, sometimes you can indemnify. You can sign a form that says we've lost the share certificates, they don't exist. Here's proof of my ID as an executor. Please now either give us another one or sell the shares. But ultimately, you are at the mercy of the registrars of those shares, and you do have to follow their rules. I would say sometimes they're quite poor at communicating. So do ask them, can I indemnify? Can I simply just sell them without the certificate? And secondly, check that it's only one certificate you need, not 50, because that will save you lots of money.
Antoinette, thank you. And Sally in Taunton, we've never had a question like this before. As a non-Indian, imagine that for a start of a question. As a non-Indian, can I open a savings account in an Indian bank, and are there restrictions?
Well, good morning. As a non-Indian, I can tell you that, yes, they would be very happy to accept your money. In fact, strangely enough, I think one of the best buys right now for an instant access flexible account is with RCI, who are an Indian bank. At the top of my head, I can't think which protection scheme they're in. It's either in the FSCS or the European scheme. You do need to check that you have some kind of protection of, you know, some deposit guarantee protection. But yes, they will take anybody's money like any other bank.
Thank you very much. Sally, good question. So, Dave, we'll get you to stick with us till 10 o'clock. We'll do some comments on Nigel for a few minutes time at 10 o'clock. Dave Penny's with us, our money advice expert. He comes in every month. He's from Invest Southwest, independent financial advisors in Taunton. And thank you very much for answering lots of questions today. Antoinette's called in, said thank you about the shares answer.
Good, good.
And Sally, who called in about the Indian bank, we just want to clarify what the bank's called, don't we?
Yes, Sally, I apologise. The Indian bank I was referring to is ICICI, and they are covered by the UK Financial Services Compensation Scheme.
Brilliant. Let's look ahead to tomorrow, autumn statements. The new Chancellor, Philip Hammond, will stand up and deliver that. It's the biggest financial announcement, really, biggest day, I suppose, for the government since Brexit.
Yeah.
What sort of things do you expect maybe to pop up?
Well, I think unlike George Osborne, I think Mr Hammond will try and get the whole thing done without much much excitement at all. He just wants to keep it calm and stable, ready for the Brexit negotiations to start next year. So I think we expect not very much in the way of headline stuff, some infrastructure spending, maybe changing some allowances, perhaps some help for those who are just struggling on their finances. But I think nothing really sensational tomorrow.
We hope that there'll be something that will help people, particularly on the pensions front. We always hope for good pensions announcements, don't we? What do you think might pop up on that front, really? Just particularly sort of the annual allowance front. Do you think
people who are saving into pensions, I think they might think about simplifying that, because you get an annual allowance and a lifetime allowance and all kinds of complicated stuff. He might try and simplify it a bit. People who are receiving their pensions, I don't think they're in line for any goodies at the moment.
We always get questions about annuities, don't we, and whether it's likely to ever be able to sell that and to get that back.
Yeah, many of your listeners, I think, might be waiting for the announcement that they can sell their annuities because they didn't like having this very low income that they're fixed into for life. It's just been announced, actually, about a month ago, that the sale of annuities will not be approved. So if you have an annuity now, then you are stuck with it for life. One thing I would say is that some of them, quite a few of them, were missold. So if you smoked or had some kind of ill health issues, you should be entitled to a better annuity income than a basic one. If you weren't offered that, it's been missold to you, and you should complain, and you should be entitled to some compensation.
So it's well worth looking into that then. Yeah. What's the best way to complain?
Complain to the provider of the annuity,
firstly,
and if you don't get the answer you like, then they will tell you how to complain to the Financial Ombudsman Service.
And the Financial Ombudsman is the organisation that was on the show just a month ago. They come on pretty much once a year on the programme to give us the advice just on that matter and how to complain and the best way of getting sort of good response from that sort of organisation.
And their job is to help and protect the investors, so they're on your side.
Brilliant. Dave, good morning. Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Next time we'll see you is for our Christmas party.
Christmas party.